cheaters play Halo. Rustin's 2 for 2 for the cheater mark. Yeah, remember? The first mark on if you're a cheater or not is whether you wear big logos. Look at that fat logo on your fucking chest right now.
Yeah, okay.
It's a head and it's bigger than your own head. Second of all, I watched a TikTok over the weekend where is this girl like rating how likely you are to cheat based on the game you play. Like Overwatch was 0 out of 10. You don't see anybody anyway. And Halo hit the top at 7 out of 10. 70% chance of cheating.
Dude, what the fuck, man?
So you're like, 2 for 2, bro.
Literally everything that I do apparently is like people that do that are infidel. I don't even know what the fuck how to say it. Is there a verb for infidelity?
You're a fuck boy. Dude, that's it.
The pieces are coming together, bro. You wear big logos. You play the 7 out of 10 cheater likeliness of Halo.
Why the fuck did they pick Halo? Wait.
And you had a second life growing up where you played GTA and shit with me, bro. You're gonna be a certified cheater.
Dude, why the fuck did they pick Halo? That was like the most random game that they could have picked for someone who cheats.
That is very random. I wouldn't see that. I think they're just... I mean, I feel like cheater type games, if I were to rank them, are like 2K and like sports frat bro games.
Yo,
That's like Halo is like too deep down.
Yeah.
Halo is too deep down in like the archives of like nerdy games, you know? Yeah.
No.
I would say people that play COD are more likely to cheat than people that play Halo.
Here's my theory on Halo. First of all, she probably got cheated on by her ex-boyfriend.
100%.
First of all, just to get that out of the way. Second of all, Halo is like one of the older type of, you know, MLG games. We were talking about it last stream. Halo was like one of the first MLG games. Mm-hmm. So those guys are older now, right? They're in their like mid-30s. Mid-30s dudes, when they're single and they start dating, bro...
They're motherfucking cheaters.
They motherfucking cheaters, bro.
Did someone cheat on you from mid-30s, bro?
Yeah.
Actually?
Yeah, Halo dude.
Oh, okay.
Yo, what do they say about Fortnite?
No one talks about Fortnite. Dude,
just complete
Fortnite,
virgins.
Fortnite kids are literally virgins, yeah. I was like 14 years old.
Cool. I'm safe then.
Yeah. Kat doesn't cheat. Yeah.
We could tell your girl that you're good.
Yeah, Kat has a girlfriend. Fortnite players have girlfriends and are virgins.
Yeah, there's like that TikTok trend where it's like, tell me your boyfriend won't cheat on you without telling me your boyfriend won't cheat on you. All she has to do is record me playing fucking Fortnite for 6 hours a day.
He's one shot.
That's a TikTok.
One shot.
Dude, if someone actually live recorded me like doing callouts for Fortnite, it's the nerdiest shit. Because me and my friend, so me, Kim, and Sahil, my trio, we were playing in our Discord, right? And all our friends are in it. And sometimes they would hop in, and my friend would hop in like as we're like dropping the most intense spot, like trying to make all these callouts. And as he's listening, and as I'm realizing that he's listening, the shit that we say is so fucking whack. It's like the weirdest callouts that, like, if you don't know the game, actually sounds so dumb, man.
Like, I can't like give us an example,
it's just,
bro.
Like, a stream of consciousness. No, like if we're landing and we just like call out like, yo, we're uncon, we're going to treehouse, gotta go god chest, oh, there's a god rock over there, llama, like we're just calling all these different things, and this guy's just going like, what the fuck is going on?
Dude,
right,
that's
now
so funny.
Yeah,
honestly, it really does take you back to like your youth, man. Like treehouse shit like that, you'd have like code names for shit. Codename Kid Next Door, remember that was fire, bro.
Dude, but
that was fire.
Nothing is unbeatable at that age. Nothing is unbeatable when you slew a string of callouts together, and then you're like, whoa, like I know this fucking game, you know? You're like, he's one shot behind the tree, like blah, blah, blah. You go like, yo, OS down, OS up, like that's overshield in Halo, right? And it's like snipes, rocks on me, like etc. Just like, dude, when you string all those together, it's just like, it feels like magic, you know?
I think what's whack with Fortnite is that there's like 13-year-old pros who are coming up with these callouts, right?
So they're coming with,
so they're
really
all just
sus,
like not great. They don't sound cool or anything.
Yeah.
Whereas like Call of Duty callouts are very precise, and like it
Valorant
provides the exact location and everything. Valorant especially, anything with like a small map. But with Fortnite, it's like fucking anything. Like they name places after pros. So there's like Zate's Hill because Zate is like a pro. There's like Clix's location where Clix usually lands. It's fucking dumb, dude. Yeah, and you're like calling out these pros names, and it's so weird.
There aren't like the scump slide and shit in Call of Duty. I swear there was like a Call of Duty pro for tech, right?
No, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Hmm. Yeah, Val's callouts are sick.
Val's are great, and they're the same on every single map.
Yeah,
right?
Pretty much.
If there's like a an upper window, it's heaven, and whatever's below it is hell. Right? You got CT, which is actually a CS:GO callout. It means counter terrorists. It's where the counter terrorists come in from for the point, and then you got like short, long, everything for each point. It's simple.
That's beautiful. The thing.
The one I don't understand is on the map with the market. You know, like the sand map, U-Haul. That's the only one I don't get.
Because it's shaped like a U.
Is it shaped like a U? It's more shaped like a L.
You're right, but there's two. I don't know. It's you just go with U-Haul.
Bind. You know?
Bind is the name of the map, chat says.
Shout out, chat.
What about right titty and left titty?
Left titty. I love that call.
Right titty and left titty are great call outs.
That was a sick call.
But isn't it based on where you're standing? So like it's based on when you spawn. So right titty is on what on defensive side and then left titty is on offensive side.
Yeah, it's just a matter of perspective. Yeah. It's always a matter of perspective.
I just say tits, like, you know, and he's just like, if I know that my whole team is with me, then I say like left or right tit. Yeah.
Under boob.
Yeah.
Facts.
Listen, the title of this podcast is We're Beefing with Streamers Now.
And when we say we mean me.
And yeah, when we say we mean specifically Arian, the hater of all haters, King Hater. You guys remember when we did that fit check on Jordan Fisher? Well, Arian had a very hot take, apparently.
That wasn't a hot take, nor was I hating that hard on that.
The clip that we posted was only negative things from Arian. He did give some props, I think.
Yes.
But for the most part, he was classic critical Arian.
Overall.
Wait, we haven't even explained it yet. Before you guys dive into it, we posted the clip and he shat on Jordan Fisher. And Jordan Fisher responded on Twitter. and he was like, yo, the blonde dude just looking for anything to hate. And all these people came in. And then Arian was like, nah, man, like, whatever. What did you say back to him?
No. Because I'm low-key going to, like, spoil the moment. But I was switching between my account and the High Geek account, like, replying to myself, like, Spider-Man meme.
Yeah.
Like, pointing at each other. And so I was roasting myself on the High Geek account and then, like, crying to myself on my personal account. So on the High Geek account, I was like, let me show you the door because Ahad burned the fuck out of me.
So Ahad is like, someone that we brought onto the podcast. He's a streamer and he replied to Arian. And what did he say?
He was like, so I like flipped and I was like, no. I don't hate everything. Not all of it's bad. Your last post was good. And Ahad was like, damn, Ari flipping faster than a pillow on a hot day or some shit like that.
Yeah, call Ari a pillow because he flipping on a hot day or when things get hot.
When things get hot.
Yeah.
And Loki, that was facts, bro. But that was shit was so funny, bro. It was hilarious.
Yeah, dude.
So shout out Ahad for carrying the roast on his back.
Yeah, that was pretty sick.
And let me explain, like, the clip Loki made me seem worse than my actual take was. You gave it a fucking 10 out of 10 for black jeans and a black tee. I was saying just reel it back, bro.
That was pretty
dumb. Normal average Pakistan looking ass fit, bro.
Yeah.
5 out of 10.
That was pretty wild, cat. 10 out of 10. There were
10 out of 10. You gave people on Arian's side. You gave Sears dripped ass turtleneck with the fucking overcoat a 9.5 out of 10. You gave it less.
No. If you recall, after the Jordan 10 out of 10, I fixed it and I said 9.5 because nothing's perfect. Because you guys said nothing's perfect. And I was like, you're right, 9.5. So honestly, I give Sear and Jordan the same amount. Because like whenever I see something like that, to my eyes, it's similar levels. I think Jordan could pull off a Sear fit, if anything. That was just like, those are 9.5s to me.
Well, listen, apparently all you have to do is wear black on black and everyone's going to give you a higher rating on this podcast and Arian will be the one that will tell the truth.
I'll be the fucking the prophet of truth.
Black on black is solid, bro. It's solid.
So I guess, listen, I guess I'm a cheater and Arian's a hater. That seems to be what we've learned so far along in the Hype Geek podcast. Oh,
and Kaz, a 14-year-old Fortnite player.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And a virgin. Proud. Add that to the list.
Actually, Kaz, just because I brought up Fortnite, you give a gifted sub to the chat.
What?
Silence. All right. Christian, roll the intro song. Yo. Welcome to the Hype Geek podcast. Hype Geek is a culture where gaming, fashion, and music meet. And obviously, this podcast is covering that cross-section. And boy, do we have some cool stuff to talk to you guys about. Specifically, there's this video game. It's called Axie Infinity. And the reason that Axie Infinity is super cool and unlike anything that you have ever seen before in your entire life is because it is play to earn. Yes, play to earn. What does that mean? Basically, the game is built on NFTs and it has its own currency that is an ERC-20 or built. It's like an Ethereum token. And you can make money playing this game, which is fascinating. It's like one of the most famous play to earn games. And if you're watching it at home on stream, I'm trying to pull up. There was like a little graph that someone had posted in this video. But what you should do is you should Google play to earn NFT gaming in the Philippines. And what they made a documentary explaining this game, Axie Infinity. It's basically like Pokemon. And you buy these Pokemon, which are NFTs, and then you train and battle each other. You can also buy land there and breed these Pokemon there. Everything in that game you own. And if you win games, you get potions. And potions are like items to heal or to do other things with. And you can sell those potions for real money. You basically sell them for Ethereum or whatever. And so there is like impoverished communities in the Philippines where this game blew the fuck up. And basically what they do is they play this game and they make $300 to $400 a month, which is more than what you get working an entry-level job in that rural Philippines. So people are making a living off of this game in the Philippines. That's fucking fascinating. And the future.
So sick, man.
Yeah.
Explain to them Axie University, these three guys that started this program within this game. You know, it's like, it's crazy.
Yeah. So basically, it's expensive to buy Axies, at least for people in the Philippines. And there's a group that came out called Axie University where they will give scholarships to people who can't afford Axie. So if you're good at the game, you know, they'll give you a scholarship. Or what they'll do is they buy like powerful Axies and then rent it out to people.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what are Axies? It's the Pokemon?
Yeah, it's the Pokemon.
It's the characters.
Let me pull up the website so you guys can see what it looks like. Ubisoft is a major investor. It's a mobile game. And the way that they... So then you're wondering, how is it that Axie is paying these players, right? Well, the way that they dole out the money is just like any other normal game. They have an item shop. Just like Fortnite. So Fortnite's free to play. And then in the item shop, you can buy skins. In this game, in the item shop, you can buy axes to battle with. You can buy potions. You can buy land. And that's how the company makes money. And then the people that play the game make money because they can sell their axes, right? Like, let's say you get an axing tournament to like a level 100 god. You sell them for like 500 bucks and you bought them for like 10 bucks, right? Or you like battle, you get potions, and then you can use those potions to heal, or you can go sell those potions to other players or to different marketplaces, or even swap those potions directly for Ethereum because they have a monetary value attached to them. So it's super interesting.
That's the fucking future, man. Because, I mean, if you think about it, $300 to $500 a month in the US isn't sustainable. You can't live off the mount, maybe yeah, a little bit. But in the Philippines, the currency is different, right? So $300 to $500 US, I'm learning now, I didn't know this before, is a livable amount. And instead of working some like tiring 9-to-5 job that pays a very low wage, you could sit on your phone. Is it a phone or PC game?
It's both. It's
or
both.
Is it both?
Yeah.
Most of them play on their phone.
I think this. I see some in this video in the Philippines. They're at like a internet cafe over there, and they just sit there and they grind this game, man. Like,
dude.
That's so crazy.
It's so insane. Cool.
It's a little dependent on like a game, but like, dude, I don't know. Like that just is fucking crazy.
It's
to
the future.
It's insane to like, this is the next generation of jobs.
Yes.
It's so fucking crazy.
Bro, this is why the metaverse is sick, because now like the metaverse provides economic opportunity to way more people. Like if the internet helped a lot of people become financially free, the metaverse is going to help in way more ways for the underbanked, right? Like, it is a third of the world's population is not banked. And for us, we're like, what's the point of crypto if we can just go to a bank and get a loan? But if you live in the rural Philippines, you can't get a fucking loan. Who's going to give you a loan? But with this, you can go on Ethereum. You can go put money up into a website, borrow Ethereum and go do this. Or there's universities where they'll loan out these Axie guys to you, and they know that you won't run away with it because it's code, it's tech. So as soon as the time period of the loan is up, it immediately goes back to their wallet. They don't have to chase you down.
It's a smart contract.
Dude, the metaverse is the fucking future. It's Play to Earn is the future. Axie Infinity is the future. The cheapest Axie you can go buy right now is $26 as of this article that we're looking at.
I wonder how much someone over there has made total. Did they say in that video?
There's a lot of examples. There's a lot of examples where like people had stores, but since COVID hit, their stores like dropped in sales and they just switched their lives and now they live off of the game.
Yeah. The highest population, like
old people, you know,
there's 8,000 players from the Philippines, which just represents 26%. Then there's 3,000 from Indonesia, which represents 11%. And then the United States is the third highest with 2,000 or 8%. Here's the volume. So in the last 30 days, $2.76 million worth of transactions has occurred. There's 17,000 users and there's 300,000 transactions. It's insane. And the game is still in alpha stage, bro. And it exploded after this Axie news.
Wow. Dude, I got to hop on that. Dude. Can you lose money in this game? Is it possible or is there any risk to it?
No. I mean, the only risk is like
time.
You're spending money to buy these things.
Yeah. Right. There's no gamble involved, right? There's no like you battle someone and you could potentially lose money.
I don't think so.
Because that's the way
if you're like
bro.
Risking your potions.
Dude, so like the way that like for us, it's like imagine there's like a scale and it's like if you have no money and then if you have a lot of money. And then the way that you make money depending on where you are, if you have a lot of money, it's on collecting, buying and holding like exclusive axes, buying land, right? And then if you don't have a lot of money, it's like grinding the game out. Mm-hmm. That's how you make your money. And then in the middle between those two things are like the pro players who like have sick axes and are really good at grinding the game and they just fall in the middle.
Yeah. Enjoy it, but also make money.
Yeah. So like you're not going to change your life. If you live in the US playing this game, you're not going to change your life dramatically. Like if you're trying to buy NFTs, maybe axes aren't the most valuable return on NFTs, but overall, it's going to be a fun game. I think we should play that on stream one day. Dude, some axes.
We should definitely, the move is to play a game like this where you're guaranteed time equals money, even if it's not a lot, rather than spending your fucking time like I'll admit I have been doing, which is playing fucking Stake and like Rubet, the fucking online gambling using like crypto, right? Like that's a fucking waste of time. And it actually drains money way more than you can actually make money because it's a casino, dude. It's just meant for you to lose. So grinding this game is probably a lot more fulfilling and you're not guaranteed to fucking lose a fuck ton of money like I have. Don't make the same mistake I did, dude. I'm down bad.
Dude, yeah, we should stream this. And I think if you buy land there, like it could be fucking sick that you own land in like the only, like think about it. There's really the bet, like the only example of a play to earn game that has worked so far is this game. If you own land in it, it's like you own land in the first Halo. Like this is like a revolutionary video game for the NFTs in the metaverse. So something to think about. There's no financial advice here, but if you have the money and you like Axie, why not? Speaking of also just NFTs and gaming, this company Big Time Studios raised $21 million to bring NFTs to game economies. The reason I bring this up is because we're talking about Axie, it like this shit is happening way more than you think or notice. These guys raised, let's see, $21 million. Ashton Kutcher invested. The guy that started it was previously the CEO of Decentraland, which is another crypto metaverse, and game designer Thor Alexander. And
that name alone sells me on the game.
Yeah, so listen to this. $10 million was to make their game, and then $11 million was to invest in game companies that adopt its technology. So we are creating all the technology to make it very easy for gaming companies to do this, to basically make all their digital items NFTs. So like making Fortnite skins NFTs. But as a way for us to get to market, we're building the first game. It's a multiplayer action RPG where you can team up with 6 people and go into dungeons where you kill monsters, some of which are going to be dropping valuable loot. As I read that and Aryan looking over, I'm like, dude,
I just gave the most disappointing look over for those at home listening. Because this has been done before multiple times and it's just a boring concept. It's just like another dungeon RPG, like Lost Relics. That's the one that first I played before.
Yeah, but you know the reason they're doing that though, right? That's not their main business. I think that the main business is to be like another Unreal Engine where you rent out your platform, which is for other companies to adopt NFTs into their games. So if they sell this to, say, Epic Games, then all Fortnite skins could use the platform to be decentralized and you could own your own Fortnite skin is what I'm anticipating to be, right?
Yes.
The only reason they're creating this game is to create some sort of like, I guess, adoption, saying that people are using this and people actually like this and proving it out so that they could sell that data to convince other companies like Epic Games to then work with them to be able to create all these NFTs within their own games.
And no doubt, I agree with you, but using this to like convince, like, no, I don't think this game specifically is going to take off.
I don't know why you guys think that though.
No, I sit in the middle
when I play
here,
World of Warcraft. World of Warcraft, when I played when I was younger, like, I would love to own my fucking Drake that I spent years grinding, right?
For sure, because you're a nerd. So, but what I'm saying is, we don't disagree. All we're saying is that it's not a new idea. There's already like 3 crypto games that are exactly like this.
Exactly like this.
But they're shit. They don't have this level of talent or money behind them to make them legit and to a point where you would play it. But you're 100% right. I sit between both of you guys.
Yeah.
I agree with Aryan, but I also agree with you that it's a means to an end. We'll see what happens. But if you're like, yo, okay, just hearing about NFTs in the metaverse, or like, I want to know more. This Axie shit was crazy. What else can I play? Axie Infinity is a good one. Blanco's Block Party is another good AAA crypto game. And then check out Decentraland and Crypto Voxels. Those are more like, they're not games, they're social hangouts. But yeah, dude, this is going to be very interesting to watch. We'll pay attention to this. Mm-hmm. And like,
you know, you should add to that list pretty soon. Roblox. Roblox seems like it's going into that direction, bro.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's actually, dude, they did the Gucci Gardens thing. That's what I have up here.
Yeah.
You know what the Gucci Garden thing is?
No, I mean, all I know is that it's like part two to, we talked about on the podcast a while ago, where they had Roblox had a collaboration with Gucci where they released like 30 capsule items that was just within their own game. But now it seems like they're extending their universe a little bit into like this entire Gucci little world within Roblox. It's what it looked like when I looked at it, but I'm not too sure exactly what it is because I don't play Roblox.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
This is like part two of the Gucci Roblox collab where they've made like an immersive Gucci experience. And it's basically like you go through and you learn about Gucci's history in an immersive way. And for the first time, it's not Roblox graphics. It's like normal graphics. It's really crazy. Like your character doesn't look like a Roblox guy when you go in there. And it's dope, but it's not built on NFTs, which is everything we just talked about. It's like, cool, I got a Gucci handbag, but I don't own it. Like if Roblox dies tomorrow, I lose all my stuff. One. And two, I can't sell it out of the game. I can't make a living off of this like I could Axie Infinity. So it's like, you see the future, and then you see what people are doing today, and you're like, these things need to cross, right? Gucci Roblox needs to cross with what Axie's doing, and like people can actually own this
shit. That's what Big Time Universe, what we just talked about, is trying to do, right? To sell their platform to Roblox to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Because the items are cool. Like, I would love to own the actual Gucci Roblox items as an NFT that you earned in-game and can sell on a platform.
Especially since Gucci's already done NFTs.
Yeah.
So, like, they're not stranger to it. However, it could have been a different department, and they just didn't communicate it well. But
no, I think what it is there's like a convergence that's going to be coming soon, and like Gucci amongst a couple other brands are going to be like forefront brands that like you're going to be able to buy in these video games that are, and they will have NFT technology backing behind them. Like they're going to be them, and the indie game companies are going to be the ones leading the charge towards like adding NFTs and being able to sell your digital goods across multiple universes into the gaming industry, right? And other people are going to follow suit. But overall, this was cool. And it's dope that Gucci took like an expanded, experience for Roblox players and really like they fucking dedicate themselves to this game, which is really surprising for them to pick Roblox of all things. The only criticism that we're hearing from the Roblox community is that the whole thing is fucking expensive. So there's like 58,000 downvotes. There's like 2,000 upvotes on the experience because they're like
58,000 downvotes.
Yeah, because they're like, dude, you have to fucking buy everything. You can't get any free event items.
That's the new gen of video games.
I mean, that's Gucci's brand, though.
That's
how.
And what if you could sell it, dude? Like, what if you bought like the there were only like 100 shoes in there, mm-hmm. and you like lined up in Roblox, you're the first guy 100%. To get it, and then you go and flip it for 500 Robux or whatever.
Yeah. Dude, crypto and NFTs coming into this new, it's not even new model, but this is just like, it's basically the current model, but the microtransaction DLC model is what needs to happen for gamers to get back.
Well, this games. This is what you sent us. You know, in the Discord, you and Niles were
chatting
about the free to play model.
Yeah.
So can you explain your thought? There was this Jeff Cayley tweet that kicked it off. Can you explain what that whole thing was?
Yeah. So Jeff tweeted, and Jeff's the head of Game Awards, like a big gaming company. He probably does other stuff as well, but he tweeted that 26% of EA's revenue, just 26%, came from the actual sale of the game, and the rest was all live services, DLC, mobile,
no,
and
microtransactions. Fucking way,
dude, over 70% of their revenue was from DLC and what microtrans and mobile and live services, dude. And in this present, like Ubisoft, like held like an investor meeting, and they said that they're shifting away from their current lineup of 3 to 4 premium AAA titles a year, and they're going to do high end free to play games, which are going to be riddled with microtransactions.
Wait, what are currently all the free to play games that EA owns?
Well, sorry, Aryan is saying that EA, and then the second point is that Ubisoft is moving from premium titles to free to play.
I mean, free to play.
But actually, your question still stands. What free to play titles does EA have?
Rocket League.
No, right? That's Epic Games. I mean, dude, they have FIFA. Mobile games. I don't think they have games. That's, you know, I don't know if EA really has free to play.
How the fuck are they making that much money? Like, they're adding on top of
Apple. I don't think it's saying that they have free to play games. This tweet didn't say that.
They say microtransactions.
This tweet is saying Ubisoft is going towards the free to play DLC microtransaction way. But EA, people buy the EA games like FIFA and Madden and shit. But most of their sales, of their revenue comes from the microtransactions of those games. EA also has a shit ton of mobile games.
Yeah.
Like a shit ton. Like EA changed the mobile game world with Plants vs. Zombies.
Apex is part of EA?
Yeah. Respawn is part of EA.
Is part of EA. Apex free to play? Free to play game.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Just look at Valorant, dude. It's Valorant not surprising, though. Valorant is the most expensive game I've ever played, and it was literally free to download.
It's so expensive.
It's
dude.
The most $20 for one
$50
gun skin,
for a knife.
And it's so sick. I can't help to buy it, bro. I'm a fucking whale again.
Come whale, on. Baby. Oh, dude. Don't forget, you have to buy us the F1 skin for Rocket League.
Yeah,
and it's time based, so you got to buy it before it runs away.
Yeah. Don't worry, bro.
Okay, cool. I've told him like 4 times.
So every day he comes up to me, he's like, "Yo, can you check?"
Yeah. Like, I want that skin so bad.
Don't worry, I want it just as bad as you.
Okay, cool.
I'm gonna get it.
Cool.
And honestly,
none of this is surprising you guys, though, right?
But like, no. But the whole debate is like, obviously, the new model is the correct business model. Right, like these games have been skyrocketing in revenue because of these microtransactions and DLCs, and basically just selling you not a full game and then selling it to you after the fact, in micro purchases. Right, however, that is that what gamers want? And honestly, like speaking to the community of just like my friends, it's really split. Like, of course, this is just like a super small, super specific sample, but. Like me, I want a full game for $60.
Yes.
I want Breath of the Wild was the last game that I think was worth it for $60. There was no DLC. There was a DLC, but it wasn't like important to the game. Like Sword and Shield, the full game with the DLC and shit was $100. And you want the DLC because you get the rest of the Pokedex with that. That's important to Pokemon. But all these games, they don't sell you full game. Red Dead 2 was not a $60 game.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
That's why I think the crypto business will help me adopt this new model more. Because now, as a gamer, I get to own my shit.
Yeah.
However, introducing that also reduces the revenue for these companies because now there's more transactions happening peer-to-peer, instead of with the company.
Right. But if it leads to more people coming and playing the game, or if it leads to, you get a portion of the secondary sales. So what if it's like, yeah, a bunch of primary sales are happening, but now there's way more, an order of magnitude higher secondary sales, and you're taking 10% of those. So potentially it's a new revenue stream. Who knows? But I think I'm like, yo, it would be sick, because if, like, it's a new way to fund games too. Like before, if you're an indie game developer, you have to go raise money and make the game. But now you could potentially crowdsource it by saying, yo, buy land in our game and then we'll make the game, you know, buy items and then we'll make the game. So I don't know. I also agree with you though. Like,
it's a double,
we're letting these scumbags make shit games and sell shit things to us. And it's sketchy. Anyway.
Yeah.
We've beat this dead horse. We think NFTs in the metaverse are the future. And for sure. In the gaming world, it seems like they're going towards it. The only thing they haven't added is owning the actual items. And with that being said, I got to move on to this next thing. And it's a thing that we always do. And it's a fan favorite.
My favorite.
It's the place where Aryan gets flamed. It's called the Hype Geek.
Flamed. I am. Oh my God. I was about to say, I am the flamer.
I do not get flamed. I do the flaming.
I am the flamer.
And this week, we got FaZe Swag. We're going to do a fit check on him. And our whole thing is helping other hype geeks get better in their style. And yeah, we picked FaZe Swag because...
Well, his name is Swag, so let's see how much swag he really has.
Here he is right here.
Aryan, careful. Watch your tongue this time. You might get called out on Twitter again, man.
Don't watch your tongue. Please get us called out on Twitter.
I will not hold back.
Aryan is going to be 10 out of 10 bowed down.
I am Stephen A. Smith of the motherfucking gaming community, bro. Okay? There's no holding back. I'm kidding. honestly, the fit...
Describe the fit.
Yeah. The fit is he's wearing a black Lakers Crenshaw tee, but jersey. So it's the old Laker blue with the black in the writing that says Crenshaw on it. He's wearing a LeBron jersey and he's wearing black skinny jeans and the Jordan 1 Virgil
UNCs.
So he's matching, which is cute. I just didn't realize we're still in 2015. But honestly, it's hard to continue to hate because it kind of looks good on him. However, like it fits him. It suits him really well. However, I'm not a jersey guy.
Neither am I.
It's just like you could. The jersey is a flex. I think if he left the shoes, maybe like tighten them a little bit. We're not wearing shoes that are flappy anymore. Same pants, and then just took off the jersey and had the black tee under it. It'd just be a simple, clean fit. Like that would be a 5 out of 10.
But right now,
he's doing a phase up pose and he's in front of, I think he's at like a restaurant in front of like a wine thing with his boys.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to rate the photo as a photo because he's just like, it's his birthday photos.
Yeah.
Like I can't shit on his birthday photo with the homies. So removing that from the rating, but minus one for the phase up.
Oh my god! I knew that was coming.
I'm gonna give him a 3 out of 5.
Out of 5 or 10.
I can't breathe. 3 out of 10. 3 out of 10
for this fit. All right, Kat.
I mean, I think so. You're right. I'm actually not a fan of like the overly intentional matching. Because the blues on the shoes and the jersey are like way too similar.
Yes.
Like it's I don't like that. Even if it was a darker blue, it'd be perfectly fine, like the jersey. But like I'm all for like the shoes being actually the thing that stands out the most from like if it was like a black on black jersey, you know, I'm a fan of black and black. But then the shoes stood out, yeah, you're and that's a fan perfectly of black fine.
Black. Yeah, he's a fan of black on black.
Is that a 10 out of 10 then?
Yeah. Is it a 10 out of 10? No, oh, it's when you add a second color, that's when it starts to go down for Kat.
If it was a black on black, I'd rate it higher, but like with the matching colors a little lower there. And then I think the shoes, it being too loose and the fact that the laces aren't the same color and one of them is orange, which really throws me off. I'm not a fan of that. It's a little too loud. Like the shoes are loud already. Uh-huh. That like the very loose fit with like the different shoelaces. And I think this tag is still on there, actually.
The off-white tag?
A little too loud for me. Yeah, I'm going to give this a 6 out of 10. I mean,
you're supposed to keep that red tag on it, right?
Are you being sarcastic, aren't you?
No, like the red zip tie tag, you're supposed to keep that on the shoe.
I mean, at the beginning when they first came out, you could. But now it's
I never owned these because I just don't. Okay, but...
are you disappointed that you don't have them, or is it a choice?
I mean, I was disappointed. Now I just don't give a shit because I'm just not into sneakers like I was.
Yeah.
Like when Virgil dropped the 10, I was already like out away, the door, like separated from
you
the
were
sneaker
loafers.
World.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was boots actually, and I'm still boots.
Yeah.
But
Aryan wears shorts.
I still
and boots
wanted them, like the Blazers. Oh, the Blazers were fucking heat.
Yeah, they were heat.
And then Travis dropped the. The Neapolitan ones, and those were stupid fire.
Yeah, those were fire. Those
stupid
were fire.
Fire. But I digress.
You digress. So,
Rustin,
what was Kat? Wait, what was Kat's rating?
Six out of ten.
Six out of ten. Yeah. Okay. All right. For me, I give it a 5 out of 10, and it's just very mid for me. Like in terms of, it's not bad, but it's also not great. I hate when people match perfectly to their shoes. This guy definitely went bottom up with his fit. Put the shoes on first and then put everything else on. Phase swagless. Sorry, I just had to say it. Not that I agree with that, but I just had to say it. It was there. I had to say it. Then, but no, I agree. Don't wear skinnies and then wear Jordan 1s. And then, like, those don't, two things don't work. You got to wear oversized pants for the shoes. I think the jersey fit is kind of hard for him. Like, it kind of looks good. So here's what I would have done. I would have given him. What are you laughing at, Aryan?
Chat says rusting this man on his birthday.
Here's the thing. I would, here's like, I look back at my birthday photos and I'm like, God damn it, dude. Why did I wear that? Because when you're younger, or I don't even, maybe I still fall prey to this. And it's on your birthday, you're like, yo, gotta get that fresh birthday fit. And then you see the photos, you're like, God, I was trying so fucking hard. But then if you don't wear something nice, then you're like, why did I just wear normal clothes? You know, so it's like such a hard balance for me to like, what do I wear on my birthday? I can't be flashy, but I also can't look like a bum, right? So I end up being flashy and then looking like a douche. And not to say that that's what occurred here, damn. But potentially... He went over the top because he runs into the same issue that I run into. So yeah, I would have
started this with you guys being scared that I was going to get attacked. Rustin's for sure.
I'm not saying anything wrong. I'm saying that I'm the same way, or even if, or I'm wrong, but this is just how I feel. I would put white cargos on it and make sure that they're baggy, put it over the shoes. And I think it would solve the issue of the full black and the matching colors. I think that's all that needs to happen. So that's why I gave it a 5 out of 10, because at the end of the day, it's still a good fit, you know? It would still pass. You walk by the street, I wouldn't be like, what the hell is he wearing? I would just be like, oh, you know? But maybe we could just escalate it a little bit.
No, I feel you. I feel you. Now let's move on to probably the most swagless man in gaming, but he doesn't give a fuck about our opinion because he makes more bread in a month than we probably ever will combined. That's a cap. We actually will make a lot of money. But can we talk about how Jake Lucky tweeted, Ninja has said during the peak of Fortnite.
Wait,
that was so misleading. I thought you were calling out Jake Lucky.
Are you talking about Jake Lucky?
Swagless guy.
No.
You're saying Jake Lucky. Listen, tweeted. Ninja.
Tweeted.
Ninja's this rich, and you're talking about Ninja, right? Basically, yeah. We found out Ninja's rich.
Did I say
rich.
It wrong?
You said it wrong. You said
it was just misleading.
You had all this buildup of who's swagless, okay. And then you said Jake Lucky.
I said Jake Lucky tweeted.
Why would you say?
I don't know.
Why would you say?
I don't know.
You know who's swagless? Jake Lucky tweeted.
Okay.
Go.
May I continue?
Yes, please. Yeah.
Ninja made $5 million in a single month during the peak of Fortnite
from his
creator code alone.
That's it. That's the tweet.
That's the tweet.
Dude, you know what I got from that? I just got, because I watched the clip where he told, I think it was Ronaldo from NRG, I think he was playing with.
Mm-hmm.
The way he said it just was like, he gives zero fucks at this point. Because at first he was like family friendly, best foot forward. I'm famous now. I gotta represent. And he literally just didn't give a shit. He was just like, I'm just gonna no cap. Like I made $5 million a fucking month. And then Ronald's like, dude, that's more than my entire family lineage, bro. And then he responded, and Ninja responded by saying like, dude, I'm not even gonna cap. Like when I was playing Valorant against some guy, I used that as my shit talk. I said goodbye to your entire family.
Jesus Christ.
The only reason I think that's fucked up is because it's fucking true. You can only say those things when you're like, and it's not true, and you're just actually trying to flex on someone just to fuck with them. But when it's true and you know there is potential malice intent there because it's facts, it's just like Ninja's gone to that point where like he just stopped giving a fuck, man.
I mean, Ninja's always but respect. Been a fucking asshole.
I'm glad he's not like that super family friendly guy.
H1Z1
days, he was more himself. And as long as he's getting back to that, I'm not too mad that he's like going back to his like roasting self, because that's who he was originally. And then he kind of swayed off that to this family-friendly image, which was kind of, I'm not going to say fake, but a little more forced. So I'm okay with him going back towards it, but it's very clear that he was just like, I don't give a fuck anymore. So
all right,
that's the main news line.
Well, listen, I have no response on this Ninja thing. I just want to tell you guys for the last segment, Hype Geek Watch, go check out the movie or the TV show
Mythic Quest
on Apple TV. It's fucking awesome. It's a video game.
It's funny. TV show. Kind of like a toned down Silicon Valley, but they're game developers.
And yeah, that's pretty much it from us. So you guys have a great week. We'll be back next week. Love you guys. Peace.